talking with Glenn Canning.
My name is Glenn Canning. In 2013, my daughter, Rehtaeh Parsons, ended her life in April. She did this following months of victim blaming and an awful lot of abuse, because she was sexually assaulted at the hands of some boys from her high school. You know, her death had just an incredible impact on my life. Well, she did in general, but her death just it was so heartbreaking for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk to high schools now and universities sometimes. I do some writing and stuff like that. You know, because I just know that what happened after her death was heartbreaking. It was incredible how people sided with her. It was incredible too how some people went against this whole story without even knowing about it. You know, it to me was shocking to see there were so many people around who know nothing about the story at all would automatically assume that the boys must be the ones telling the truth, and those people were just willing to believe the worst things about my daughter Rehtaeh, so that they could excuse the boys' behavior. It was just heart-wrenching. So I've really kind of taken it upon myself to be a bit of an advocate now, mm-hmm. And to talk about sexual violence, mm-hmm. about girls and boys. You know, I'm a man who was molested when I was a boy. So I've just been trying to do that. I'm just trying to make a difference. I'm just a heartbroken dad, I guess, is the best way to describe me.
Yes.
Who thinks that this didn't have to happen and believes I believe in my heart that we can change it so it doesn't have to happen again.
And what kind of changes do you think are I do see changes coming along, and I think you speaking makes a big difference. What kind of changes are coming?
Right now, the biggest changes to me, I know that our government, the Harper government, did a bunch of stuff with Bill C-51, stuff like that, but to me, it misses the point entirely. Any new laws miss the point entirely. You know, I'm not looking for anything like that. I'm not looking to have a hammer come down. I'm just looking for people to be better educated,
mm-hmm.
About issues of consent especially, mm-hmm. and I'm really a big advocate of having consent, and issues of healthy relationships, issues of abuse, talk to in schools, because there's a lot of people, young people, who are affected by this type of crime.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them may not be their schoolmates. It may be a teacher. It may be a parent. It may be someone at their church. You know, they have to really have the tools in their hands to be able to know what to do, to know that it's not their fault, and be able to know who to tell.
Exactly.
And I think we're a bit behind the eight ball in that, but the sooner we start talking to kids about these issues, the better we'll be.
That's a very good point. That's a very good
point.
Yeah,
that's my main goal. My main goal is not any kind of laws or police officer changing how they do stuff. You know, it's beyond that to me. To me is preventing the police and the courts and lawyers and stuff. I'd rather prevent them from being needed in the first place. I think that's far more effective.
Yes, sir. I think maybe there's been a change over the years. I'm older. Back in my days, such things were unthinkable. And I don't know if society is changing for the worse, but it's an important message to get out to say that people need to change the way they see things. And I'm so glad that you're speaking up about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad that I'm speaking up about it, too. And we know that there are a lot of people who have gone forward. In Halifax, especially where this incident happened, they didn't go necessarily to the police, but they went to sexual assault centers. I mean, they were 3 months waiting list to get in and talk to a counselor. It's incredibly underfunded, but it just showed you how far and how deep it goes. You know, even sometimes talking about a story that goes public will have sexual assault centers overwhelmed with people who want to come in and talk about what happened to them.
That's
you
true.
Know, it touches an awful lot. It touches a lot of our lives. It really does.
It does, yes. And I can. So I'm a father as well of a daughter. Mm-hmm. And oddly enough, in my youth, I had a problem. So I can certainly identify it. And I think we're not rare.
No, we're not rare. You know, what happened to me? It happened at the hands of an uncle. I was 7 years old, and the thing is, back then, you know. To be a young man, you never would say something. You'd live in shame. And it affected my life. It affected a great deal of it.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I literally buried it for most of my life. And it's only been in the last couple of years that I've been able to start opening up a bit about it and talking about it. And that is actually part of what my goal is to be, because there are other children out there in our society, in our communities, who are going to be preyed on.
Mm-hmm.
And we really know how to effectively deal with that. And the best way to do that, of course, is to let those children know that they can come forward, they can say something, they can talk about something, and it won't be something shameful or embarrassing or upsetting for them. It will be upsetting, but it won't be something that they have to feel bad about.
It's not their
fault.
And
I think that's what's kept an awful lot of young boys from ever saying anything. And there are a lot of young boys in Canada who've been abused.
Yes.
Especially, of course, like we know, with residential schools.
Yes.
Sex abuse destroys communities. It completely destroys communities. And I can't think of the example from First Nations is just, it's to me as a Canadian, it's shockingly shameful that this happened in my country. It's just awful. But, you know, we're learning and we're doing better and we're educating and mm-hmm. then we're apologizing in a lot of cases, long mm-hmm. overdue, of course, you know, but we are getting better at it. And I know we're getting better at it. I know we're starting to challenge the myths around it. You know, we're challenging the stereotypes that women who say they were raped are just trying to get back at some guy. That's, you know, I mean, I looked at yesterday, I don't want to get heavy involved in statistics. People can look a lot of it up.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday I was reading the Vancouver police had, in the last 10 years, had 5,200 reports of sexual assault. Like, these are people who actually went to the police and filed a complaint, and less than 3% of them actually resulted in someone being convicted.
That's not much.
That is insane. That to me is I'm not surprised, but I'm just incredibly disappointed.
And I think
there's no way that 2.9% of 5,200 assaults were the only ones that were true. There's just no way.
That seems like an awful lot.
It's an awful lot, and this is why I think it's so important to speak out. Even in my daughter's case, you know, they went and they interviewed the Rattaya's friends. They talked to, you know, the girls that she knew and asked if she's the kind of girl who would make this up, if she's the kind of girl who would lie about something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And on the reverse side of it, with the four males who assaulted her, they never once ever spoke to any of them or any of their friends.
That's amazing.
And it's amazing. It just, to me, it's, you know, they came to our house. They wanted Rattaya's emails. They wanted her cell phone. They wanted her iPad. They took all this stuff, and for the boys who assault her and even photographed themselves doing it, they didn't even go after the single cell phone at all. You know, not even the one that was used to photograph her being raped.
Well, that's incredible.
And I know, and you sit there, and I sit there with this stewing in my head sometimes, and I'll tell you know, I can be described as a pretty mad father.
Mm-hmm.
There is absolutely no way that this case should have ended the way it should have ended. They had a sexual assault case handed to them on a silver platter. They literally did. These guys were bragging about it. They photographed it. They texting
yes.
people about it.
Yeah.
I mean, and the police actually closed this case with no evidence.
That was...
You know, it's got to change. And people are like, oh, if you were sexually assaulted, go to the police. Well, I'll tell you know, sometimes going to the police isn't going to do a thing. And that's got to change.
It does have to change. And what happened afterwards was... I can't describe it any other way than inhumane, just inhumane.
It was inhumane. It absolutely was. They went to her school, you know, and they shared the photograph with people. They shared the story that she was throwing up and they all had sex with her and she was a slut. And you know, this was a girl who wanted to be a scientist, you know, a girl who loved astronomy and loved reading and loved Stephen Hawking. She went from that to being an absolute ghost. Almost, it just overnight, literally, you know, she fell apart. I took her to the hospital because she wanted to die. I came home one time and her hands are all cut up and she did it herself. To hear your child say this stuff over and over and over again, you know, as a parent, it's just unimaginable how lost you really feel. You just feel completely lost because you are turning to systems for help. And it seems like it's a revolving door thing. It's a ticker tape, you know. Take a number, sit down somewhere. But, I mean, your child right in front of your eyes is dying as if they had cancer. And the difference is if a child had cancer, people would be listening and helping. But a child suffering from what Rattaya went through caused her tremendous trauma. And, just it caused her to have a fatal mental health issue. You know, it slowly just took her away, and it's sad because she really fought. She fought really hard to try to get back to the place she was before this happened.
It's heartbreaking to hear about it. It really is, and I can't imagine what it would be like to go through. It certainly.
I hope you never have to.
I'm
I
sure
hope nobody has to. You know, it's awful. I just can't you can't put it into words. I wake up every day, and I miss my daughter.
Of course you do. And I can't imagine the police acting that way. Why? It's just incomprehensible. There's no answers for it, but that's why, as you say, things have to change.
Things have to change, you know, and the best part of change is people talking. And being honest about stuff, you know, just being upfront and honest about stuff. It's an awful, awful crime. We can't sugarcoat it, you know. And I see it sometimes. I talked in a high school in Ontario, and it was just to a bunch of boys, 45th into them. You know, like anyone who goes in and talks to a bunch of high schools, the teacher's there, it's telling them to knock it off, be quiet. You know, it's just high school, but you go up in front of those kids and you start saying that my daughter was raped when she was 15. I'll tell you, that's an awful powerful thing to say in a group of young men. And they all just, almost right away, they're like, what? You know, it really had an impact on that school.
I'm glad that
it really did. I've heard back from a lot of teachers, and they say a lot of those young guys were really affected. And they're affected so much in a way that they actually go to the teachers after and say, what can we do?
Yes.
And that's the best thing of all to me, you know, to get young guys involved with a conversation of sexual violence, of rape, of sexual assault. I mean, not only because we're looking at preventative stuff, we're also looking at preventing young guys from being bystanders.
Yes.
You know, at a party, if some girl's in trouble, don't think it's funny. You got to go over and help her. You got to stand beside her. You know, you got to call her mom or dad or the police. You've got to do something. Don't be a bystander.
That's very good. You know? Yes.
And that's a big message for them. But again, like I say too, it's not just that girls will be assaulted. You know, some of these young guys you talk to may have gone through something like this as a kid, and he may as very well be in a place where Rattaya was, where he's not thinking there's a way out of this.
That's a good point.
And as a teenager, that is such a dangerous place for a person to be, where they think the only answer is just to end their life. So the more we talk about it, the better it's going to be.
Yeah, well, it has to get better.
A
return to some kind of values that people respect each other enough to be compassionate enough to render assistance, as you say, you so well said, at least render assistance in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely, because that girl, if someone walked in to my daughter and stopped this from happening to her, I wouldn't even be able to put into words how grateful and thankful I would spend the rest of my life being for that person. Just to do something simple like saying, no one's going to touch her. Yeah. I'm going to call her mom or dad.
Yeah.
Just leave her alone.
Oh.
You know, and there was four boys in Rakea's case, and not one of them took it upon themselves to do that.
That's disturbing.
It's disturbing. They all just literally joined in.
What kind of mentality is that?
Sickening.
What kind of mentality is that?
I know.
I can't fathom it.
I can't fathom it. I can't fathom it. I also... If you think about it, you know, if these young guys had been having conversations in their school about this kind of thing, maybe one of them would have said, wait a second, we can't do that. That's rape.
Oh, true.
You know, and they never looked at it like it was rape. They just looked at it like, well, she's not screaming and fighting and kicking, so we're not raping her. That's how they felt about this. And Rattaya was unconscious.
No.
That's awful.
A powerful point you brought up. It's... getting that mentality in them before they're faced with the situation.
Yeah, that's why I think the younger the better. You know, by the time you get into high school, it could be too late. And you don't have to be really graphic or explicit about it. You just got to talk about healthy relationships with young people.
Yeah.
You know, how issues work where both people are agreeing to something.
Yeah,
you know, and how much better it is not to do something to somebody when they don't want it. I mean, you don't have to use really graphic language if you're going to talk to younger people, but we definitely have to be having this conversation. And junior high, I think, would probably be the best place we should start introducing it. You know, because Rattaya was assaulted 2 months into high school.
Oh,
so high school is too late. I'd rather do it in junior high. You know, just part of a healthy relationship curriculum. Talk about consent. Talk about when things are okay. Talk about if someone wants to hug you, you know, they should always need to ask. And if someone says they don't want to be hugged, it's okay.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. We should be doing it, and we haven't done it enough. But now we have an opportunity, and I do know things are changing, and I do know that we are looking at a lot of things across Canada in high schools about bullying, cyberbullying, and consent, and it makes me feel pretty good to know that that's happening.
Well, I can see why you're a big part of it, because you're very well-spoken, and I really, really enjoy the way you bring the message out without making it about anything other than human relationships. And that's the way to get the message across. That's absolutely right, to not pinpoint one sex or anything, but it's a human thing.
Because it's a human thing, yeah, absolutely. You know, it affects, like we've said over and over a few times, it affects an awful lot of people.
Yeah, and
you know, it affects enough of us that we all have to start talking about it.
And it's important for not only for boys who see something like that happening to do something, take some kind of action, maybe not personally themselves, but to call at least. But it's important for girls too, to if they see something like that, to step in and say, hey,
yeah,
you know, I, at least like you say, I'm going to call her parents.
Yeah.
It's such a simple thing.
Such a simple thing, yeah.
But you're absolutely right.
It's such a simple thing, but it would mean the world. It would just, to know there's young people out there in our community, to imagine when they get to be adults.
Exactly.
You know, they'll see things happening on the streets, and they're not the kind of person that was, they know, okay, I've got to do something. I got to help people.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just walk by when someone's being harassed or abused or something on the bus or the subway. You know, start raising young people to intervene, to do something.
It's going to become more and more important, I think, unfortunately, as society continues to change.
Yeah.
I've seen a huge change in my 65 years from my values back when I was young. Nothing like that would ever, ever, ever be considered, ever. But I guess things have changed.
Yeah.
You know, I was Boy Scout, and I kept that mentality my whole life, Boy Scout mentality, you know.
Yeah.
Be prepared and help others. That's an important message.
It's right in you. It's a good example. Boy Scouts, Girl Guides, those are great examples, because you know they're taught to help out. You know, get your badge for volunteering.
Exactly, help others.
Doing things.
It's part of the oath. I still remember it.
Part of the oath. Yeah.
And I
still remember my Cub oath. I was Cub. I never got to Scouts. I wanted the Air Cadets, but I still remember the whole Akela, we'll do our best. We'll dib, dib, dib. We'll dop, dop, dop. But it was a good thing.
It
was a good thing, because we were taught to do your best and we were taught to be helpful.
And you're absolutely right. That's the time to get the message in, because look, it stayed with both of us.
Yeah, it did. It stayed with both of us. And this message will stay with young people their whole lives if we can start talking to them about it soon enough.
Yeah. The other thing that I just wanted to ask you about was the whole ban on her name. I was especially upset about that.
Yeah, that was disappointing. I understand that the judge made a call. He had to do something, because it's written in law where victims of child pornography can never be identified. And when they charged two of the young men after her death with child pornography offenses, the one who took the picture and the one who is in it and distributed it, they put a ban on Rataya's name, which was just infuriating. I mean, it was a very popular story. It went all over the world, and all of a sudden Canada saying, oh, I can't talk about it anymore. Meanwhile, in the States, they're calling us for interviews and stuff all the time where we can say it. And so it seemed rather pointless, but I do know that the judge in her case was a good man. His hands were tied. He made a call, but I wrote a letter to the Minister of Justice in Nova Scotia asking them to make a statement that it's okay to violate this publication ban, because you won't charge anybody, and they just wouldn't do it. They said that's never happened before, and we won't do it. So they ended up, I think, making enough people upset and angry about it that newspapers in Nova Scotia just said, well, we're just going to break the ban.
Yeah.
You know, they asked me first. They asked Rataya's mom, Leah, first, is it okay if we break this publication ban? And, of course, we're like, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course it's okay. This is an important story. You can't go hide somebody. Especially,
no.
I know that Rataya would have been infuriated about that, because to us it was like, now the justice system is going to do something to protect her.
Yes.
you know, after she died, you're going to say, okay, we need to protect her now? I don't think so. That was an insulting part of it.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't meant to be harmful. It was.
Yeah.
But finally, a bunch of people online started, I guess they started this letter-writing campaign, and they started writing Rattaya's name everywhere and publishing it on all kinds of websites. And then the Minister of Justice called me into her office one morning, and she just said, I want you just to read this. And this is the Nova Scotia Justice Minister, Lena Diab at the time. And I just read it, and it just said, you know, you can use Rattaya's name. And there won't be anything happen unless you use it in a derogatory way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So she still is protected as a victim of child pornography.
Yes.
And her name can be used. So it was good to get that. I was glad to get that.
Yes, because instead of being a nameless victim, she's a human. She's a person.
Yeah.
A person with a name.
Yeah. It when you do a publication ban, you know, it really takes an awful lot of power away from someone's life.
It does.
And it almost effectively erases them.
Yeah.
Is what we found. They were just erasing our daughter, and we weren't going to let that drop.
I'm glad you didn't.
No, we didn't. I broke the ban, and I was very open about it constantly. As soon as they did it, I went out and started publishing on my website that I'm going to be talking about Rattaya.
That's,
you know,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, as a father, I can totally understand and identify with that. Something else that you want to share, a message that you want to share with our listeners? That
I just think what we've shared so far, you know, I would really like listeners to understand that this affects a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a story about Rattaya Parsons. It's a story about a lot of young girls in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard from a lot of them who are going through exactly the same kind of thing she went through, and it's heartbreaking. And the more we start talking about it, the safer we're going to make our children, the safer we'll make our communities, our schools, you know, and we'll all be able to participate in a really big positive change in Canada to change the statistics of sexual violence and how miserably we fail into something that's a lot more supportive.
Now, is there any kind of action that people can take? Anything that is there some kind of action that they can take to show that they're
I would try to talk to their schools and see what their schools are doing, what local communities are up to, what they're talking about. You know, you can write letters to your members of parliament. You can talk to your provincial government. You can go to the mayor's office. You can go to your school board. Pay attention to stories that come out in newspapers, because there's a lot of them, and it's awful. And once you start reading about it, you just like, this is just happening all the time, you know. But be a part of changing that. It would be the best thing you could possibly do. And the most important message that I always give, of course, to every time I talk is never be a bystander if you can help it at all. I know I'm not asking people to put their lives in danger, but if you can do something good for somebody, always do it. You never know what that might mean to them.
That's true. That's absolutely true. We're talking with Glenn Canning, and Glenn, I thank you very, very much. You're extremely well spoken, and really, I can't count the number of times that I got goosebumps listening to what you had to share with us. That's an important, extremely important message, and extremely important that people take action on it.
Excellent. Thanks. Thank you very, very much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.